Welcome to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey. In today's broadcast, we hear the second part of Dr. Beakey's sermon on 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. In the first part of this message, Dr. Beakey spoke of the content of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now he will speak of the gospel's reliability, scope, personalness, pattern, and the doxology and praise that it leads us to give to God. As you listen, may the Spirit give you ears to hear and a heart to believe the words of eternal life.
Now, this gospel, Paul says, is completely reliable. Completely reliable. Look at our text again. This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Faithful. Now, you need to know that the Greek expression, a faithful saying, simply means this. It is always true. At every point in time, it's never not true. And it's absolutely true. It's like saying today, as surely as there's a sun in the sky, so surely something is true. What are you doing? You're saying, this is absolutely true. Well, that was a Greek expression. This is a faithful saying. This is something that never, never fails. No sinner in the history of mankind has ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendered by grace unto Him and been turned away. Why? Because He came for this purpose. This is His delight. This is His business. This is His specialty. Jesus Christ comes to save sinners. That's who He is. So, but why does Paul add these powerful words at the front to, like, underline it three times, you know? In Greek, there's no such thing as underlining. That's what Paul's doing here. This is a faithful saying. Underline. Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus came to save sinners, to save sinners, to save sinners. This is everything, Paul is saying. Why does he emphasize it so much? Why doesn't he just say it once and say, just believe it? Well, because he knows our unbelieving hearts. He knows also when we are convicted of sins inside of us that we think, wow, I'm just a big sinner. God will never have mercy on me. I'm a hopeless case. But Paul wants to reassure you, no matter how many skeletons you have in your closet, no matter what, how bad your heart is or how bad your record of sin is, Christ Jesus came to save exactly the kind of person you are. This is a faithful saying. It is always 100% true, not 99.9. No one can escape this truth. This is a wonderful truth. On the day of judgment, if you reject this truth, it will be a terrible truth. Because really, the heart of hell is reserved for those who've rejected the only gospel message, the only way to be saved. But Paul also says this because he wants to give relief to those who are groaning over sin. He's saying, for you too, just bow, surrender, receive. This is worthy to be accepted of all, he says. It doesn't have any exceptions here. So, the gospel has a wonderful reliability. It's a faithful saying, but also has a wonderful scope. It's to the whole world. Anyone who hears it is welcome. Thank God you hear it. There are people who've never heard it, which is really sad. That's why it's urgent for Christians to bring the gospel everywhere in the entire world. But Paul says, it's worthy to be accepted of all. All means all. It means you, my friend. This gospel is worthy. The word worthy here in the Greek means it's weighty. It's valuable. It's like gold. It's much better than gold. It's worthy to be received, to be accepted by you. Now, the word accept technically means it's given to you and you just receive it. It's not something you accomplish. It's just total surrender at the feet of the Savior as a poor, needy sinner, believing His word, trusting His Son. Not to accept that word, Paul tells us, is a very terrible thing. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 that Christ will stand, who stands before you now in the garments of the gospel, will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, or rather Peter, trembles at the thought. He says, what shall the end be of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And so that's why the Bible teaches us that unbelief of the gospel, rejection of the gospel, pushing away of the gospel, is the greatest sin of all. It's called the mother sin, the sin of all sin, the sin that spawns every other sin. You see, Christ Jesus has come to save sinners. And when you reject that, when you don't believe that, you're just destroying yourself. And you're dishonoring God. You know, if you ever love someone a lot, and maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's just a friend, but they won't receive anything you give them. That's very painful. When God comes to sinners with His gospel mercies, and He says, receive my Son and be saved, and you refuse to do that, that's an insult to God. Because Jesus came for this purpose. You're turning love away. Now, that doesn't mean that once you get saved, and once you do believe in Christ alone, do surrender, that you never have any more problems in your life, or that you don't have any more struggles with sin. No. Notice what Paul goes on to say now. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy to be accepted by all, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then he adds these amazing words, of whom I am chief. I thought you were saved, Paul. You say you're the chief sinner. Well, you see, I can't look into your heart. You can't look into mine. But when each person, even when you're saved, knows your own heart, you see, then you say, I am the chief sinner because I know sins that pop up inside of me. That, well, I'm just in myself, apart from grace, I'm just a big sinner still. I'm the chief sinner. That's how God's people feel. You see, we don't get assurance from looking inside of ourselves and saying, oh, I'm sin-free. I'm holier than the next person. No. In fact, God allows us to see the poverty of our own holiness so that we learn to rely upon Jesus alone for our justification with God. So we end up looking to Jesus every day of our lives because He alone can save us. So this is the personalness of the gospel. It gets very personal. You feel your own sin. You feel your own salvation. You can't be saved by someone else or for someone else or like you can't be look over at that person and say, well, that person's saved, so therefore I am. No, your dad can't save you. Your grandpa can't save you. You need to know it yourself. Coming to God as a lost sinner and cast yourself upon Jesus alone for salvation. Okay, that's verse 15. The content of the gospel, the reliability of the gospel, the scope, the whole world, and the personalness. I am chief, and I am saved. It's personal. Now we want to look very briefly at the pattern and the doxology in verses 16 and 17. Have you ever been in a jewelry store and you see a diamond? It just sparkles amazingly. What's behind the diamond? A very black backdrop. You see, what Paul says is this. In verse 16, he says, I am the chief of sinners. That's the black backdrop. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. That is, show his great patience with sinners, so that I could be a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Maybe you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, okay, I understand the gospel now. That's great, but it can't be for me. It can't. I mean, if you knew my sin, wait a minute. This is a faithful saying. It's never not true for any sinner. Paul says, I want to underline this a fourth time for you, and I want to say to you the fact that God saved me, who persecuted the followers of Jesus. You know, Paul took the followers of Jesus and threw them into prison. If anybody deserved to die, you'd say it'd be Paul, right? But Paul says, no. What Jesus did is he made me a pattern so that those who come after me to the end of the world could look at my life and say, well, if Paul can be saved, I can be saved. If Paul cast himself upon Jesus Christ and was saved, that's what I need to do as well. So Paul is a model, is a pattern. It's like he's a diamond shining there in the darkness of his own past, shining brightly so that you can believe it's possible also for me. Yes, sure for me when I by grace surrender to this precious Lord Jesus. So the gospel has a pattern. And the pattern is the lives of believers. They become sinners before God. They flee to the Lord Jesus Christ. They find salvation in Him. And they go out and they tell their neighbor, you too can be saved. And now, this is so wonderful for Paul that he can't hold himself back anymore. He's just bursting as he writes to Timothy. It has to come out. He's so filled with praise. He's so filled with the glory of God. We call that doxology. When you just praise God, when you actually forget about yourself in a sense. Well, you remember you're saved, of course, and that moves you. But you just want to exalt God for who He is. You want to be lifted up above your own salvation. And you want to just praise Him. And that's what Paul does now in verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Grateful love is like fire burning in the bones. It has to come out. And when we get saved, you see, and our sins are wiped away by God through His Son, Jesus Christ, we will feel grateful love. It can come more gradually, come more suddenly. The Lord is free on that. You don't have to worry about that. But if you're saved, you will be overwhelmed with the grateful love of God's salvation for you in Jesus Christ. And you'll know what it means to sing with Isaac Watts, where the whole realm of nature mine that were at present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. You just want to live for God with everything that is within you. You know, what a gulf between who God is and who I am. You know, now unto the King, immortal, eternal, the only wise God, and me, the chief of sinners, but saved by that God. The gulf has been bridged by grace. And the only fitting response is doxology, praise. The king has pardoned a rebel like me. He will never lose his kingdom. He will never abdicate. He will never cease to reign. He will never die. The king eternal, the king immortal, who gives life to dead souls. He's now my king, the king invisible. Yet I have been given eyes to see him, eyes of faith to see him as my king and my Lord and my God, the only God who there is. He alone is worthy of honor and glory and praise forever and ever. The gospel produces praise. Doxological praise. Well, let me close this message by asking you this question. 35 years, Paul lived in sin, approximately. 20 years later, when he's in his mid-50s or so, he's writing this letter to Timothy. And he's just filled with the joy of God for delivering him from sin. Am I speaking to a middle-aged man or woman this morning who's tired of sin? Or maybe a teenager or a boy or girl. Do you ever get tired of sin? You ever get tired of being all wrapped up in your life just with yourself, your little tiny puny self? Don't you want to have your life be much richer and fuller and more purposeful and be found in God and have the God of the universe, your God, and the Savior is your Savior, and be headed to life eternal and know the joy of salvation in this life that the world never knows? This is all possible for you. No matter how great a sinner that you are. So I'm going to close this sermon with just this illustration. There was once a boy who was a teenager who was very naughty. I mean, he was a bad, rebellious kid. And he left his parents' home and he lived in sin. And they wept over him every day, prayed for him. Nothing changed him. And finally, he came into contact with the gospel. And he truly surrendered, by the grace of God, to Jesus Christ. Confessed his sin. But he thought, my parents, they will hate me forever. They will never receive me. So he wrote them a letter. And he said, dear Dad and Mom, I've been a terrible son. I don't deserve that you would ever allow me to come into your home again. But I do want to see you. And I'm so sorry. And he said in his letter, he said, I'm going to be coming on a train. It was a train track that went through their backyard. I'm going to be coming on a train that goes through our backyard. And if there's a little corner in your heart to receive me back, would you please put a white sheet out on the clothesline on such a day when I'm going to be coming back? And if I see that white sheet on the clothesline, I'll jump off the train and come home. But Mom and Dad, you have no reason to receive me back. I've shamed you. I've sinned against you. So if you have no corner in your heart to receive me, even a little bit, just don't put a sheet on the line and I will go on my own way. But I miss you. With love, your son. Now, when that boy got on that train, his heart was pounding. He really thought, my mom and my dad, they won't receive me. They must hate me. And when the train got closer to his home, his heart was pounding harder. And he was stretching his neck as he came around the last corner. Would there be a sheet on the line? And suddenly, he saw sheets everywhere. Sheets in the trees, sheets on the roof, sheets on the garage, sheets on the line. The whole backyard was full of white. And he jumped off the train and he ran into the house and embraced his father and his mother. They had always loved him. And you see, that's what God's love is like. The Bible tells us the story of a prodigal son who went away from home, spent his father's all his money, ended up in a pigsty, and finally went back home. And the father was looking for him. And Jesus was saying, this is what my father is like. And then the father ran to him with arms of mercy, and embraced him and kissed him with lips of mercy and wept over him with tears of mercy. And he said, kill the fatted calf in my farm. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Oh, my friend, you are welcome with God. You are welcome with Jesus Christ. Come just as you are. And he will make your sins as white as snow. For he came to save sinners, just like you. You say, why me? I say, why not you? Come just as you are. And you'll find the sheets white. And you'll find joy unspeakable in Jesus Christ, even for chief sinners. Paul's your pattern. Give up the battle. Don't try to save yourself. Just fall and receive. Surrender. And believe. And repent. And you will find joy like you've never known before. Amen. Gracious God, we thank thee so much for thy salvation. We thank thee so much for the gospel and for making Paul a pattern of it and for the doxology that springs from thy people when they believe the gospel. Oh God, please, please let everyone seated here this morning who does not know the gospel bow with all their sins and confess and receive and believe by the grace of thy Holy Spirit, who so willingly, as willingly works it within them as Jesus was willing to go to the cross for them, and as the Father was willing to save them from all eternity. O triune, willing God, show sinners in our midst this morning who do not yet know thee the white-sheeted gospel in thy Son, and draw them to it and embrace them like the father of the prodigal and work in them thy glorious and free and beautiful salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Doctrine for Life with Dr. Joel Beakey, a ministry of the Gospel Trumpet. Please consider supporting the broadcast of Doctrine for Life with your financial gifts. For more information on how to donate to this ministry, and to download free booklets or audio files of previous broadcasts, please visit our website at gospeltrumpet.net. That's gospeltrumpet.net. William Ames said, theology is the doctrine of living to God. May God write the doctrines of the Bible upon your heart so that you may truly live.